Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you. Wow. It's such a privilege to come and preach in this great, great church that has had such great founders like Colin and an incredible man of faith, and to come here and minister as Clive and Jane and just be able to stand with you in the vision for this church and the vision for this nation. We believe this is the greatest time for Britain. We really do. You know, a lot of people are, you know, speaking negative of this land. But I heard recently an interesting statement that you can judge how good a country is by how many people want to immigrate there and live there. And so the biggest problem, they say, in Britain is the problem of immigration. So that tells me this is a great, great country, that everybody wants to come and live in this country. So you can tell how great a country is. So stop complaining about this wonderful land, because everybody else wants to come and live here. Okay, so, and I'm thankful. Ruth and I are missionaries. We are born and bred Aussies and came here to Britain 18 years ago last month. And so we love Britain and love it. Australia's pretty good too, but we love Britain. You know, God's doing amazing things across this planet. He really is. Incredible, amazing moves of God that are happening. In India, our churches in India have water baptized this year alone 38,310 people. And just this year, only since the beginning of January. Not one of those were brought up in Christian homes. Not sing one of them at all. God is moving mightily. We have churches across the Arab world, and in every five major cities of Egypt, we have churches down there. We water baptized 70 in one night there a few months back when we were down there. And the incredible things, the biggest things probably happening on the planet today across the Arab world, the change of nations and things that are happening. We have churches across Syria, in the six cities of Syria. And one of our places down there is where under siege because of the government tanks and everything like that down there in Syria. God is moving across the world today. Now let him move in your heart today. It's wonderful hearing about in India, and one of our leaders down there water baptized 4,000 people in the first 10 weeks of this year. I averaged that out with 60 every day. I thought the guy must be actually evangelizing next to a river, and there he is finding people and just dunking them in the river. But he said, I understood that he didn't do it every day. Some days he had off, so other days he baptized 200. But it's amazing what God's doing. God is looking for people today. And that's what I want to speak about today, being carriers and ministers of God's power. Being carriers and ministers of God's power. It's such a privilege to be alive today. I'm so glad to be alive. By the way, my grandmother turns 112 next month. That's pretty old, isn't it? That's pretty old. Over 2 years, she has been the longest living person of Australia. The longest she's been sitting on the throne for 2 years of Australia. She said the Prime Minister think everybody's following her, but she said they're really following me. She said everybody is behind me. Only half of them follow the Prime Minister, but they all follow me. And so no matter how long you're alive on this planet for, Jesus wants you to be fruitful in the work that God's got for you to do. He wants you to be fruitful and fruitful and fruitful, that you would bear much fruit. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. The Bible says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." I love these verses. These verses are real today. We have not reached the end of the age. The world is still going on, and Jesus is with us today. And he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This next week, some of you will be on trains. Some of you will be on aeroplanes, going to different places of Europe, and maybe one or two going beyond outside of Europe. And maybe you're driving around and walking around in shopping centres around Horsham and Crawley area, around this region here. But Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That every single person needs to hear the message of Christ. You know, it's so exciting to be and have purpose in your life. My mother recently said to me, she said, Ashley, I listened to your CDs and DVDs of your conference. She said, everybody always says one word. At least there's one word. I said, Mum, what is that one? I was hoping she would say Jesus. I was hoping that everyone would say Jesus in their message. She said, everybody always says the word purpose. She said, somebody, we're in their message. I thought, oh, that's nice, Mum. Everybody says the word purpose. Because you need your purpose as to why you're on this earth. You need to discover that Jesus has given us this amazing opportunity, this amazing privilege that we can reach people in our lifetime. We can change another person's life. We can affect their life for all of eternity. Friend, this is our privilege to have a purpose. A few months ago, I was on my way to Egypt and I went up to the British Airways desk at Heathrow Terminal 5 and was just checking my luggage in. And they said, sir, we've decided to upgrade you to business class. Oh, I thought, bless British Airways. I thought, this is so nice that they've upgraded me from Economy Plus to business class. And I feel, oh, this is nice. Thank you, Jesus. So I got on my plane. I was really feeling good, just 4.5 hour flight, but that was nice of British Airways. Anyway, I was just sitting on my plane and in the plane there and had my food and I was just about to have a sleep for the next 4 hours and I thought, maybe I'm here for a purpose. Maybe I'm here for a purpose. I could just have a sleep, but I must be here for a purpose. So I looked around for my purpose. See, you've got to look around for your purpose. God's given you eyes to look for your purpose. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you got a purpose. So I looked around and there I saw a purpose. And so I looked over at my purpose and I started talking to this lady. She thought she was going to have a sleep too. So I started talking to her. And 3 hours later, I led her to Jesus in the aeroplane there. I felt so happy that I had found my purpose. She thanked me and I thought, oh man, I've only got half an hour left for my sleep. I better push my seat back and lay down, have a rest. Then the seat wouldn't go back properly at all. And I said to the British Airways, what is wrong with my seat? And they said, oh, sir, you should have told us earlier. We could have given you a different one. I didn't realise it. I didn't try until then. They said, fill out the complaint form. They sent me £375 for my seat that wouldn't go all the way back, which was a free seat anyway. It's really good to have a purpose in your life. But that's not the best part. We got off the aeroplane there and I'm walking down the steps at the airport and by then you're into a bus to go back to the terminal and this big black limousine at the bottom of the steps. I thought, they're parked right across. I had to walk around the back of it. I thought, what did I put that silly thing there for? Anyway, I'm going around. This lady comes up to me and she said, Ashley, thank you for praying for me. I must leave you now. And I'm in the bus with everybody else in economy tickets, in buses. And there she goes past the... Didn't even go through checkout, passport. The lady I just led to the Lord. I thought, thank you, Jesus. I was on a purpose. You got a purpose. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. You see, the big question we all like to ask is, and we try to justify ourselves sometimes, like this man here to Jesus, who said, who is my neighbour? Who is my neighbour? Is it the person just to the left and to the right of you, the people behind you? And or who is your neighbour? And Jesus went on this story to say who your neighbour is. Now, we need to understand this story because Jesus says at the bottom of this story, go and do likewise. Now, if this is eternal book, this book here, and he says, go and do likewise, we need to discover who our neighbour is. That was my neighbour sitting next to me in the aeroplane. God has got people around you all the time, everywhere you go. It's the amazing thing about being in Britain. In Australia, I could look out the back of my house for 20 miles, there was no one there. I mean, I used to just go out there shooting kangaroos. But over here, I can't find a kangaroo anywhere. Over here, there's just people everywhere. I mean, they're just crawling around everywhere. There's so many people. But friend, that's our purpose. You got to understand your purpose. I did not like people once. I just did not like them. I just did not like people. I said to Ruth, well, Ruth always wanted to invite people back to our house for a meal. Anyone got a wife like that? You always want to invite someone back to your house for a meal. I said to Ruth, I don't want them. This hasn't been recently, by the way. This was in the first year of married life. I said, Ruth, I have chosen you from all of the women of the world. Just be happy, you. I don't want any other woman. I don't want any other person. I just want you. I don't want anybody else. Just be happy. I said, you invite him here. I'm going to go up the paddock somewhere. Not even talk to him. Just grouch. Is there no men like that here, is there? Is there any? Come on, is there? No, come on. Most of us are like the rest of us, aren't we? But then when God touches your heart, this is what we need to fall in love with God. When God's permission grabs a hold of us on the inside. When God's presence touches us on the inside, then we get the heartbeat of heaven. You see, the heartbeat of heaven is people. It's reaching people. The heartbeat of heaven is reaching people. And friend, there's so many people that are around about us. And Jesus goes on to tell the story. And a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves and stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. I see a lot of half dead people in Britain. A lot of people that haven't got much life on the, much life. I walk down there in Brighton and, I see a lot of people that are just like, just going along. When we first came to Britain, I've never seen such grey-looking people in all my life. It was in the middle of winter, though, and there's people like they didn't have much colour. Friend, we are to give colour to this world. We are to give life to this world. And these people, many people are left for half dead. And now by chance, a certain priest, the priestess thought he was working down there, by chance came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Now the Levite and the priests, we know the story, but they were people brought up in the temple. Well, Levite was born a Levite. Some people here were born, brought up, going to church from a little boy. I was brought up going to church. My parents were churchgoers and my grandparents were churchgoers. And that's what the Levite was like. He was brought up going to the temple and that was temple was his life. But friends, something was wrong with this man. He was filled with laws on the inside, but he wasn't filled with the love and the compassion and the purpose for life. He was all wrapped up in just law and legalism and church and temple duties rather than the real commission of what we're on this earth for. See, friends, and then the priest now. Now, priest, you're not born a priest, you become a priest. And so some people weren't brought up going to church. Your parents weren't brought up going to church. But you chose to follow God. So you're maybe like the priest who you chose to come to church and make the temple your way of life. And he became a priest. But still he was filled up with his priestly work. And maybe they had good reasons. Isn't it amazing how we've always got good reasons? And we've always got a reason all the time. But they had their reasons. Maybe they had a lot to do that day. They had people waiting for them in the temple and they had to just keep moving. And maybe they thought, the obvious thought, man, they got him. And so if we stop, well, there's robbers around this place, we're going to keep moving. But you've got to let yourself be moved that Jesus says go and do likewise at the end. So if we become religious people like the priest and like the Levite, and we're just doing our Christian thing when we come to church on Sunday. But it's what we do the other 6 days, or it's what we do during the week. It's not just a Christian coming to church. We're a follower of Jesus Christ all during the week. All during the week, see, the Levite and the priest forgot really, I think, who they were. See, it's very easy to be professional Christians. Friends, I keep your heart soft, really. Keep your heart tender. We're not just churchgoers. We are people changers. We are carriers of God's presence. We are carriers of God's love. We have a purpose in life is to reach people. And I'm amazed at what God has asked me to do. And I never thought I'd end up in Egypt. I never thought I'd go down to a place like that. There's only one thing that reminds me of God in Egypt, and that is it never sleeps or slumbers. It goes 24 hours a day. It just goes beeping. It's officially Cairo, the noisiest city on earth. Jackhammers, building sites, beeping horns, mosques, all that going all the time. Officially the noisiest city on the Guinness Book of Records on earth is Cairo. But God loves Arabs. He loves Arabs. He loves Jews. See, he loves Jewish people. He loves the Israelite people. He loves Arab people. He loves all people. He loves all people. One time a few years ago, remember that, Ruth? I haven't said this for a long time. We had a pastor's conference with some of our pastors. We had planted churches in Britain. And then we said, let's pray for France. And I was like, boo. It's like, let's pray for France. Like, there was not much faith in the place. I said, hey, come on. Hey, we got to pray for France. And I made them get all on their face and repent of their attitude to France. Now they all love France passionately. I think with a bit of Ashley and a bit of God. No. Friend, we've got to love nations. We've got to love people. Everywhere we go, we've got to love people. We've got to get into their world. It's not just a matter of having compassion from a distance or maybe have a few tears when you're watching a movie and say, oh, I really have got a soft heart. It's a very emotional movie. I have got a soft heart. I'm weeping. That's not really what the Lord calls compassion. Compassion means we get into somebody else's world. We get and we show them how much we care. I find a lot of British people don't really know how they're going to go, know how to cross that barrier sometimes. It's like they don't know how sometimes. Friend, we just got to do something. We've got to learn to stop, talk, smile, have a chat, take an interest in somebody else. I went to see my grandma a few years back and she was so excited, my old grandma. She was so excited. I said, she was like a little young girl, 16-year-old. I said, Grandma, what has happened? She said, Ashley, I've been so looking forward to seeing you. She said, I just led a young man to the Lord. I said, wonderful, Grandma. I said, how old was the young man? She said he was just 68 years old. Now, over 40 years, her junior. So certainly young by grandma's standard. But she was so excited that she had led someone to the Lord. At that time, she was much younger. She was about only 108 at that time, so 40 years younger. I wonder, friend, what you think about when you're thinking about getting old, because all of us are getting older every day. Whether you think the best years are behind me, whether you think, what do you think about life? You think, oh, I'm filled with regrets. Friend, look at the opportunities of the times that you still have in front of you. Vast opportunities lie in front of you. Or you think, oh, well, look at my wife. She's lost her shape a bit. Look at me. I lost my shape a bit. Look at my hair that's beginning to fall out. No. You must realize that God has put his love inside of you for a purpose, friends. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
Wow, that's good. You do what you're told to do here. And then the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, doesn't say his name, he later becomes good Samaritan, but at this time he's just a certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged up his wounds, putting on the oil and the wine, and set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. I really like verse 34 because he wasn't just looked at him, had compassion and just kept on walking. See, a lot of times that's what people do. Oh, they look at people, they have some sort of compassion on them. Lord, bless them. Lord, bring them to you. But they don't get into somebody else's world. Friend, we've got to realize that we need to step into somebody else's world and to care for them. That is sitting next to us on aeroplanes, they're sitting next to us on trains. They're walking next to us in shopping centers. They're next to us in our houses. Friend, let us reach people for Christ. Amen. I mean, you are a great church. I mean, the vibrancy that was in this church for God this morning. The vibrancy, the presence of God that was in this place. I mean, I travel all over the world. This is equal to any church I go in anywhere. Just the presence of God, the love of Christ that is in your hearts in this place. But when we leave this place, we enter our mission field. When we leave this place, we enter our purpose for life. Our purpose for life when we leave this place here. And we are to look around for purpose. I have a great friend of mine in Darwin in Northern Territory of Australia. He's got a church down there. And he's last year, he gives away $2 million to overseas missions works at the moment. That's a lot of money, isn't it? And he supports, I think, 5,000 pastors in 32 different countries, just raises up money, projects, and helps all these different, you know, developing countries. And he said, "Ashley, train your eye to miss nothing." That's what he said to me. "Train your eyes to miss nothing." He said, "The poor man, the rich man walk down the same street. Train your eyes to miss nothing. There's lots that your eye can see." But a lot of times we are like the Levite and the priest. We just cross by on the other side. Oh, friends, but God has touched our life for a purpose. And I like this good Samaritan, this Samaritan man. And he says that when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So he went to him and bandaged up his wounds. Don't just think it's some person laying as a beggar on the side of the street. Don't just think this is only talking about that. Otherwise, you mightn't see anybody all week. It's not just the person who's the beggar. It's the person sitting next to you in the suit going on the train. You know, one time when many years ago, we were leading a prayer meeting for prisoners. And we were all thinking about prison bars that were there. And we're all, get them out of the prison bars. But really, many people are in a prison in their emotions and in their life. And they're in a prison in their life. And they're not free people. But he in the sun sets free is free indeed. Yes. Friend, let's be carriers of the love of God like this Samaritan. So he went to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring on the oil and the wine. Oil and wine speak about the Holy Spirit. Oil and wine that you anoint people with oil. I was over there in the Ukraine a couple of years ago and I was praying, picked up the oil. I go, "I love oil. I love, most churches got a big lot of oil here. I better not get it out. And no, they got drinks, water here." You got some oil? "No, I won't use it too much because I don't like just little dabs. I like to fill my hand up." We're having the Ukraine there. I picked up the oil. I said, "I love the oil of the Holy Ghost. Anyone love the oil of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I love the oil." And it was half full when I picked it up. I walked around after 5 minutes. I forgot it was in my hand. After a while, people started looking at the bottle because the bottle was full now. It was actually grew in my hand when I was there. I got so excited, Clive, about the oil that was in my hand. It was full of... I got so excited, about 100 people in there. I filled my hand up, splash, splash, splash. Then they come up 3 times, splash, splash, splash. The bottle's nearly full. I got so excited. You know what? Then I went to sleep. I thought, what a good night. What a good church service we've had. And then I woke up the next morning, I thought, wow. Maybe I should have told everybody to go get their bottles last night. We could have had more oil in the Middle East. Could have made all the money for our missions program. But I went to sleep and by then the anointing was gone and the bottle was just, that was it, finished. Friend, you've got to understand your purpose. Oil and wine talk about the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, because I've been to a lot of churches and growing up in the church where I was born, it was so boring, I tell you what. Not like this. I used the most exciting thing in church growing up was looking at the maps on the back page. I would look at these maps all the time and I thought, this is my lot in life to come to this boring church. But Paul, he had an exciting life. I mean, my Bible's coming to pieces. And I look at Paul's journey, Paul's second holiday, his third holiday, his fourth one, he stopped in Rome. But as for me, I've got to listen to here. So I got more inspiration out of looking at the maps on the back. But in this church, there's such anointing. There's such presence of God. There's such Holy Spirit, friends, that God touches your heart. You see, this good Samaritan, he just happened to have some oil and wine. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Friend, when you leave this place, or when you go out of your house every morning, you go out with the presence of God. I don't think this man just had it by accident. I don't think he just had it just by accident. He had some oil and wine. Maybe wine deaden the nerves a little bit, rub a bit of oil onto the exposed places where it's been cut. And then he didn't just happen to have it. He was there on a purpose. Friend, wherever you go this week, make sure you have the oil and the wine. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit that is with you. Wouldn't it have been sad if he walked over to his saddlebags of his animal, lifted up the saddlebags and the container was there, but there was nothing in them? Friend, I think that's a problem sometimes with church people, maybe charismatics, or maybe speaking in tongues, but not much grace and anointing that God wants to fill your heart with. See, compassion to look at the harvest field. Jesus said, look at the fields are white under harvest and the laborers are few. Every one of us, God wants to be a laborer this next week. Wherever we go, we're on a holy mission. We don't want to come and look into our inside of us and that we are empty. That every day we're ready, like that good Samaritan. He was on a mission. He was just always ready. He had the oil and wine there, just always ready. Yeah. Friend, I tell you what, God wants you to be. We have a type of batteries in Australia called Ever Ready. You don't have them here, do you? Yeah. You do? Oh, okay. I think they're made in Australia. No, I don't know. Hey, you won the junior tennis yesterday, by the way. Was it an Aussie? Anyway. We just got to grow up a bit more yet. Friend, but the ever ready. We must be ever ready with the anointing ready in our hearts. It doesn't mean that you've got goosebumps and doodads and you feel a little shake in your finger like that as you walk out of your house just waiting. But it means that, you know, how do you get filled up with the presence of God to minister to people? How do you maintain your heart in an ever-ready state? That the people that you will meet this week on a train or on an aeroplane or when you're passing them wherever, will they just all of a sudden, wow, look at all that anointing is over you. What do you have? No, I don't think it's quite like that. Look at the shake of your finger. You must have something there. No. There's so many strange people in this world. I mean, most of them in church. Strange people in the world. I don't know, but I just love the church because it's the hope of the world. I like, who's it that... the guy who wrote Walk Across the Room. Bill Hybels. This man walked across the path to where this man was lying. I had to look across the aeroplane. You see, you got to walk across the room. You got to go out of your world into somebody else's world. You got to cross the room. You've got to cross the garden over to where your neighbor is. You got to walk across the path. You got to look across the train. Friend, that's what it is making friends. None of us have got enough friends. Does that mean I'm saying lonely? No. It means that the more friends we make, the more people's lives that we become a part of. You might say, I'm very happy with my 3 friends. But if you can make another 6 friends or 10 friends, friend, how many more people's lives will you be a part of? Is that just common sense? Hello, gone quiet on me here. Is it good? Okay, that's good. So friend, how do you keep yourself topped up? The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up as on the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 verse 31. Learn within your heart how to be in an ever-ready state within your heart to carry His presence, minister His presence. And I tell you that linked with that is a thankful attitude. The moment you get out of being thankful, the moment you kind of get out of being thankful, you get into grumbling, moaning about the weather, moaning about this, about the tax thing, about this, about that, all these sort of things. But friends, be thankful in your heart. Learn, because you know what? It's not just some formula that here I am, rub on the oil. Here I am, 3 little rubs of the head and a person's healed. It don't work that way. Because you know what? The oil is the Holy Spirit. We are carriers of Him. I love the picture in the book of Acts. I'm just going to duck over to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 3. After Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 verse 12. Why do you look at us intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk. I like this attitude of Peter and John. Why do you think it's by my own godliness? Friend, none of us by just being good can make another miracle happen. None of us. None of us by our own power. That power is not us. That power is not us. No matter how good a Christian, I tried to be good. I tried to be good growing up. Even when I was given the first opportunity to take around the communion emblems in church, I practiced on that so much. You know when you take around the communion, you have communion in this church every now and then. And I practiced in the bathroom. I thought, I've never once ever entrusted this job to me before. So I tried to get it all right. And I would just waltz this little bit down like that, you know, because everyone else did that. I watched them for years. They would, when they walked, they had this grace that they went down like that. And they always went down a little bit as they went to the next one. And then they always had a certain look with their face which kind of drooped on the edge. And so my morning of the communion emblems, this was many years ago, I practiced in the bathroom. I was going like this. True, that is, I am not exaggerating. Only I did it more seriously because I was so much wanting to please God. Friend, all of that is a lot of rubbish. You cannot make another miracle, another person get saved with all your little godliness like that and your little goodness of trying to be somebody special. But friend, when you love somebody, when you care about somebody, when you have compassion, get into their world, you're speaking the language of heaven because heaven wants to flow through you. It is not a power, Peter and John said. This is not our power. This is not our godliness. It is the Holy Spirit that has touched us and Jesus who has filled us with his presence. That is what has happened. Friends, I tell you what. I have to always ask myself, why does this person get a miracle? What is it about this person? What is it about this person? I was out in Hastings there 2 weeks ago. And I said to this lady, I said, just start walking. And she had three very serious operations on her foot and she didn't want to put any. I said, just start walking. And I felt the Holy Spirit flowing into her. And I felt, and not, I didn't feel, ooh. I just felt like, oh, it's touching her. But I thought, I won't say nothing. And she just walked, I'm walking backwards like this. All of a sudden, she said, I feel. My foot, it's good. I felt so excited. Yeah. It wasn't me. It was her reaching out her heart to Jesus. And I was just trying to be obedient because that's what I felt the Lord say. Just keep walking. Just let Jesus wants to do this. He wants to do it more than us. He wants to reach Horsham, Crawley and this whole region more than what we do. But friend, the presence of God that is here. Make sure that this vessel, this container is full of Jesus and not just of you. I've come to realize this. I wish I learnt this many years ago, but the four types of soil. We all know about the parable of the sower and the seed. One seed fell upon the shallow soil, the pathway. Bird took it, didn't bear fruit. Second one fell amongst the shallow soil. It died within a week or two. I don't think there's anyone like that here. You're committed people. Look at the beautiful sunshine outside. You're still coming to church. So you're definitely not in the first two. But then the third one and the fourth one. The third one started off real well. And the fourth one, of course, was the good soil. But the fourth one, third one, it sprung up really well, really keen to grow. Then all of a sudden the Bible says, but the weed sprung up. See, the weed sprung up. But the seed of the word of God was growing. But the seed, the weed sprung up and the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the love of this world and other things grew up and strangled out the fruitfulness of the vine that should have been bearing fruit. You see, what happens is in our lives that we get filled of other things. We get filled of other things that occupy our heart. We start off well and we love the Lord. We're not in the first two. And then all of a sudden other things enter in. One of our churches in Australia at the moment are seeing an amazing move of the Holy Spirit. It is nothing short of extraordinary. It is extraordinary. It is just in Brisbane, North Brisbane, it is seeing astounding things happening within its church. But they have been praying and worshipping for about 2 years on a certain course, and people are coming now weeping, and many people, I think 27 people got saved last week, and it's quite amazing, really. And I was talking to the pastor, and I haven't heard this saying for a long time, but he said, "Ashley, I'm so afraid of missing what God's doing." He said, "I feel like I have to empty myself of everything of this world as I stand before Him and I stand before the people. I just try to empty myself because I want to be filled with His glory and filled with His presence." And as he was talking to me about his heart attitude, I thought, wow, that's true, actually true. Because you know the cares that you are under, the cares of Britain at the present time, the cares of jobs, deceitfulness of riches, and all these things enter in, and they kind of rob the fruitfulness of the vine that God wants you to be fruitful this next week. He wants you to be fruitful this next month of your life. And the Bible says, because the Bible will always be true. The Bible will always be true. And other things entered in, and they were no longer as fruitful, this vine, as what they were destined to be. Friend, let's have a little bit of a checkup on our heart this morning. As other things started to enter into your life, in all the negativity, speaking about finances, pressures and cares and everything like that, has these things started to enter in that kind of robs of fruitfulness? Or do you look back in the old days when you're really on fire for God? Friend, let's be on fire for God today. Let's be on fire for God today. Let's be on fire for Him and take His presence and the Bible, because God wants us to reach people this next week. That we would be a vessel, that would be a container, that would be filled. And out of this great church, this great Kingdom Faith Church, that out of this place, vessels will be filled. You haven't got to wait till Sunday to get your vessel filled. Or you got to come and say, "Jesus, fill my heart to overflowing. My God, I'm thankful. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that as I wait upon you, my heart shall mount up as on the wings of eagles. Lord, let my spirit not be burdened down by the cares." Otherwise, what happens on our spirit, the things of this world and the care are pushing on our spirit and pushing on our spirit, weighing our spirit down. We feel like we're just like, and we're never going to make it. But friend, God says you're a winner. God says you're a winner. With Him, you can rise up and mount up as on the wings of eagles. Friend, you can run again, you can run again, you can run again, you can run again. Yeah. A few years ago, I was running the London Marathon. I had this great idea. You know how pastors get great ideas. Clive probably doesn't. He'd get great ideas. I had this great idea, Clive. I sat down with all my pastors. I said, "We're going to raise £500,000 in one day." They all looked at me staggered. "How can you raise £500,000 in one day?" I said, "This is what we're going to do. We are all going to run the London Marathon. And we're going to get our church to sponsor us, and we can raise £500,000 in one day." I never seen such rebellion in all my life. I really thought it was a heavenly idea. I never seen such rebellion. One guy said, "I will swim it, but I won't run it." Another one guy, great guy, face to face, said, "I will never run the London Marathon." I couldn't believe it. These are my closest men to me, and they were like, man, they were like, "What? They're just about stoning me." That's a good idea. So in the end, I ran it on my own. I got to the 32-kilometre mark. I thought, what a stupid idea. I thought, you idiot. You should have just stuck to preaching. What do you get these stupid ideas for? Now you've told everybody all over the world you've got to do it. I'm thinking, where can I get out of this? Anyway, one lady said, "Sir, there's only 10 kilometres left." At that point, it felt like 100. But friends, I want to tell you, I love this verse over in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, just to continue on from Peter and John. And he says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." I believe this to be a secret of Christianity. Peter and John, they were brought before the other religious leaders because of healing the crippled man at the Gate Beautiful. And they said, but we can't stop but talk about the things which we've seen and heard. Your testimony will be the greatest vehicle that you can use wherever you go. Your testimony of what Jesus Christ has meant to you. Friend, that's the greatest thing that you could ever use in life. The Apostle Paul. Apostle. These are apostles. They said you can get carried away by the name. Just a name, apostle. But they're just men. So we can't stop. We're on fire. We have seen God do something. We have seen God do something and we can't stop talking about it. Hello? Have you ever seen God do anything? Just because it may not be just quite as fresh in your mind as when it happened. But friend, don't lose sight that it was God that saved you. God that used your life in the past. Let it be fresh in your mind and fresh in your heart. Otherwise you kind of think, well, it's got to be something more profound now. Friend, I love to see people excited. You know, as a pastor, I like to look over people and I can almost see the ones just about to take off and grow and mature and grow, because I can see and look at their heart attitude. They're one of excitement. They're one of teachable. They're like something is there. It's like the springtime and the buds are all coming out, and you look inside of the person, you can and see that attitude of heart. And you can almost see the fruit that's about to come and pounce, come onto someone's life. Friend, we can't but stop and talk of the things that we have seen and heard. I was over there in Nepal 2 years ago. We got church in Nepal and I was in Kathmandu. And 60 years ago, there wasn't one Nepalese Christian in the whole world. Not one person in Nepal was a born-again Christian 60 years ago. But now there's 2,000 churches alone in the city of Kathmandu. 2,000 churches in one city of Kathmandu when 60 years ago there was none. I was there and I just felt like asleep because I was tired and we had this conference going. So I said to David Harland, our pastor in the Brighton Church, I said, you preach, I'm going to sleep. And so we had this little office next to that they rented, and these Nepalese people were doing their accountancy work because we were renting the building off them. I said, can I use your couch? They said, yeah, okay. So I used the couch while David Harland's preaching. And so I went to sleep. And then when I heard the music starting when it was finishing off. And then I thought, oh, I better wake up. I'm on next. And then as I opened my eyes, this Nepalese man is about 3 foot away from me, sitting forward on his chair waiting for me to move. And he's looking at me like this. Little Nepalese man. I said, and then he said, I'm still asleep. Because he's new, so he said, who is Jesus Christ? I thought, oh, man, who is Jesus Christ? Right, okay, radio! Man, I thought, I better wake up real quick. I said, why do you ask? He said, well, he said, 6 months ago I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw a man that had holes in his hands. And he said to me that his name was Jesus. And I know that you're a Christian and you've been singing about Jesus in there. And I know you'll be able to help me because I want to know who put the holes in Jesus' hands. I thought, wow. Wow. Prayed with him. That was where I should have been, sleeping. I was at the right place. See, sometimes people don't understand. They feel like, I should be here. God has got certain things for you to do this next week. If you were just wound up like this, but God has got, don't feel under pressure. You've got to be in two places at one time. You know, I'm not Jesus. Jesus can be in all over the world at one time, but you can only be in one place at one time. So many people live under such guilt and condemnation. I should be doing this. No. Jesus has got a rest for you and he's got a certain thing for you to do at one time. So live in that rest of God in that one time and allow the purpose of God to be fulfilled. It was my purpose at that time to have a sleep because I was a little bit tired. And it was my turn to pray for that man. Friend, I tell you, God is so wonderfully good. Let us all stand up just for a moment. Let us all stand up. Let's be carriers and ministers of his power. We cannot but speak of the things which we've seen and heard. This next week, God will have us to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. That may be someone on an aeroplane going to New Zealand, or it might be on a train going to London. It may be just the uttermost parts of the earth can be a person that's a long way away from God that is right next to you. Let us be carriers of the presence of God. Let us be carriers of his grace and his anointing. Friend, I tell you, don't just look and think, well, I've got to be a pastor. No, 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 you haven't got to be a pastor. You've got to be a leader where God wants you to be. So many people all the time think, well, I've got to be a pastor. I've got to be a pastor. Wouldn't that be a terrible thought if everybody in this church wanted to be a pastor? One guy came up to me one time. He says, Ashley, I don't know whether I should be a pastor or a businessman. Now, I was glad I had been with him on a mission trip and I'd heard him give a 5-minute testimony before I preached one time. He was terrible. I couldn't tell him he was terrible. He was 5 minutes was enough. He said, I don't know whether to be a businessman or whether to be a pastor. Well, I didn't tell him you'd make a miserable pastor, but I just said, look, mate, you make a really good businessman. Make me a big heap of money because you've got a lot of people to reach. Man, he came back one day, gave me $120,000 in a check. We planned a Bible school, trained up hundreds of pastors. I'm so glad I didn't put him as a pastor. Friends, so whatever calling that God has got for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, whatever it is, you need to fulfill it. I never want to be a pastor. I never want to be a pastor. I never want to be a pastor. Did I want to be a pastor, Ruth? No way. I thought, what a miserable existence. Going around having coffee with old ladies and just there. Stand at the door of the church, shake their heads. I thought, never, I do not want to be a pastor. One day in Australia, when I had become a pastor, the leader of our movement, a Christian Outreach Center, said, we're going to plant churches across Britain. Who has got English grandparents? I put up my hand because I got an English grandma. He said, wonderful, we can send you there. My hand went down like this. My hand went faster than lightning from heaven. This is absolute truth. It went so fast it didn't stop on my lap. It went under my backside. I sat on my head. I thought, I am never, ever visiting Britain. I'm not going there. My assistant pastor said to me, Ashley, I think you might go there one day. I said, never. I actually said Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and grant unto you the desires of your heart. I thought, that's it. Final. Finished. But I have found God lives where your desires are. And at any time, he can just turn. If you have a thankful heart and a beautiful spirit, he can just turn your heart around like that.
Come on.
God wants to touch your hearts here today.
Right.
He wants to touch your hearts. Lift up your hands. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place today. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon the leadership and upon this whole church. I thank you, Lord, that this church has prayed for so many years for greater moves of your spirit and my God, to really impact this nation. So God, I pray that a great measure of your anointing would rest upon every heart. I pray, God, that you would fill every heart to overflowing here today. My God, that there shall be no lack whatsoever in anybody's life. My God, I pray that out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This you spoke concerning the Spirit that those believing would receive. My God, I pray that your anointing would flow to everybody here when they leave this building to their mission field. My God, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing, your amazing presence, your amazing power. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, lead us this week. Not in a frantic running here and to and fro, but that we would be men and women led by the Spirit. In a certain place because of a certain appointment by God. My God, I pray that you would lead these people like the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. My God, I pray that you will touch these wonderful people, Lord of Kingdom Life. My God, Kingdom Faith, Holy Ghost, I thank you, Lord, to touch them, Jesus. Just quickly before I close, is there anyone here this last week that you had a really tough week? A really tough week, like
Maybe you've just felt like you've come to church this morning, but it's been a difficult week this last week. Just raise your hand. Man, we all have a difficult week at some time. Look at those hands lifted up. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those people this week are going to get a fresh touch of heaven in their life in church this week. My God, I thank you, Lord, that you said come to church so that we can encourage one another, and all the more as we see the days approaching. My God, I pray where I speak courage into these people's hearts today. I speak courage into their heart today. Courage to face another week. Courage and anointing that will touch their hearts, Lord Jesus. My God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, to touch their hearts in your wonderful name, in your wonderful name, in your wonderful name. I see out of this church, I see people being a part of many things. You go, I don't know how much, I don't have talked to Clive a lot this morning, but I see some people going overseas on missions things and going and into different places. I see God is going to use this church in dramatic, amazing ways. I see like, as though like people going to and going out from this place, but this place being a home and a base and all these connections, not just to this land, but overseas as well. And to this great place, which is like a fortress and like a pillar in the spirit that people are a part of. Know that this is a great covering of this church, a great anointing in this place, a great oil of God's grace that is in this place here. That by being a part of a church like this, the blessing that's on the house becomes a blessing that's on your life.
Right.
Understand that. Don't just be an attender of church on Sunday, but say, Lord, the blessing that's on this house is a blessing that's on my life, that flows into my life. Just lastly, before I hand to Clive, is there anyone here this morning that you have never given your life to Jesus Christ? The most important decision. I was 14 years of age when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. My parents were Christians. I was brought up going to church, but it wasn't reality to me. You know, I don't know if you've been in church before, people here, how many of you, maybe some people here come as visitors this morning, but you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to say to you, this is your day. You can give your life to Christ today. While every head is bowed, just for a few moments here, while every head is bowed, is there anyone here this morning that you have never given your life to Jesus Christ? Just raise your hand. I just see that hand. Is there anyone here this morning that you would like to give your life? Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to wipe the slate clean. You know how we used to be at school and they would just have to wipe the board clean every now and then? Well, Jesus wants to wipe it all clean. All the guilt of everything of your life. And give you a whole brand new start. Who is that person? You want to give your life to Christ? Yes. Is there anybody else you want to give your life to Jesus today? Anyone else at all? Just raise your hand, just quickly. Lastly, is there anyone else? You know, thousands of people across Britain today would be giving their life to Christ. Looking across this land of Britain, in churches all over this land, you add it together. Thousands of people giving their life to Christ. Thank you. Couple of people over here. Why don't we all just keep our head just bowed and just, why don't we all say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin, all my wrongdoings. Come into my heart to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I give my life to you, to walk with you. From now unto eternity. Amen. 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 Father, I thank you, Lord, for those people that said that prayer for the first time this morning. I ask your blessing to be upon them. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would take up residence within their heart and their life. My God, we thank you, Lord, for changed lives in Jesus' name. And we look forward today, Lord, to many great things happening in this land of Britain. Lord, when 27 people could be added to this church in one day, one week, like that church in Brisbane, or 4,000 people were baptized in a matter of 2.5 months, like in India. Lord, we believe for great things in this land of Britain. Believe for great things in our life and through this church. Lord, I pray your great blessings, Lord, to be on Clive and Jane, and your grace to be upon them to take this church into much greater days ahead.
in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you, Clive.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.